We've always said that Mr. Milosevic ought to be brought to justice. I had a visit with the Secretary of State about this very matter. We're watching it very carefully. We will cooperate in any way that we're asked to do so.
President Bush at the White House yesterday talking about the impending arrest of Slobodan Milosevic. This is what we seem to know now. Serb authorities have surrounded Mr. Milosevic's villa in Belgrade. The former leader says he won't be taken alive. Dan Schor joins us. Morning, Dan.
Good morning, Scott.
U.S. Congress had set this deadline this weekend for Yugoslavia to comply with the War Crimes Tribunal.
Today, actually.
In The Hague. Right. All right. Today. Of course, the Serbian government says they want to arrest Mr. Milosevic for what amount to local crimes.
Right.
It's got nothing to do with the extraordinary suffering over the past few years in the Balkans. Would that satisfy U.S. demands?
I don't think so. Let's see where we are. The Yugoslav government says that Milosevic is under house arrest, which may be its way of saying that he's not under arrest at all. We don't know. Mm-hmm. This is the man responsible for 3 wars in 10 years, conducting that great campaign for a greater Serbia. The attempt to seize him indicates the kind of clout that the United States government, in this case Congress, can have when it wants to exercise it. Because this guy was a free man until they reached that deadline today set by Congress. And then but Congress says arrest him for trial by the International Tribunal in The Hague for crimes against humanity or lose American aid and possibly INF assistance. 5:30 yesterday, the deadline day. Did I say the deadline? Today's the deadline, but just before the deadline, mm-hmm. the government advised the State Department that he's under arrest. Seems to be not to have been quite true. If he is arrested, well, the matter is now then to be what happens then. The President Kostunica says, as you said, that they want Milosevic tried in Serbia for crimes in Serbia, corruption, so on and so forth, not to turn him over to the Hague Tribunal. That may not satisfy the conditions set by Congress. I think that this thing has a long way to go before it's played out.
Do you sense any rift now between the army and Serbia's new democratically elected government?
Well, apparently the army is having trouble knowing where the Kostunica has trouble knowing where the army is on this thing. Mm-hmm. The army was inside this compound where Milosevic lived, and then the question was that were they taking care of Milosevic or just taking care of the compound? Mm-hmm. And as frequently happens in the Balkans, you can't understand anything until it's all over, and maybe not then.
Mm-hmm. But to have the government and to have the military isn't necessarily the same entity right now. It's not clear that there's civilian control of the military in Serbia.
It is not clear that there's civilian control. It's not clear that the army is united under Kostunica. It is not clear that they will not be in a state of mutiny. I just want to tell you that nothing is very clear.
I gather that's your overall point. Quick last question on this subject, though. Does Slobodan Milosevic have any other option other than the one to which he averred to, which is he won't be taken alive?
Well, the one thing I do not believe is that he will end his own life. He's not the kind of man. He gets other people's lives ended, but not his own. I think he'll fight to the last. He'll keep to get on the radio, say that he's drinking coffee with friends, all of that. He's very good at playing this game. Mm-hmm. When the game gives out, I do not know. But there is a constant pressure. Serbia needs American help, and they're not going to get it until they turn over this guy, and Kostunica is going to have to face up to that.
Let's turn to important events we have turning in this country. Does it look, in fact, as if the Senate's going to pass the McCain-Feingold campaign finance legislation on Monday?
Well, the opponents have conceded defeat in the Senate, so as much as anything in Congress can be called sure, it seems to be sure that on Monday around 5:30 in the afternoon they will pass McCain-Feingold.
Okay, and the House?
Uh-huh, the House. The House has previously passed 3 bills like this, but that was when they could count on the Senate to kill it. Now they can't count on the Senate to kill it. House Republican Whip Tom DeLay says he's going to do everything in his power to stop it. That sounds like they're going to be a big tactical games played. The indications are that if they get a vote in the House, that he will try to ensure that the House bill differs in some respects from the Senate bill, which it will anyway, mm-hmm. which will maneuver it into a Senate-House conference, and there, behind the closed doors of the Senate House conference, is where they're going to try to stop the bill. But the Democrats and Senator McCain sound optimistic that for the very first time there will be a bill from Congress to send to the president.
And the president has said he wants to sign some kind of campaign finance legislation.
Yeah, and he says he may well sign this bill, and I think that he very well may, not because he cares very much about campaign finance reform, but he has other fish to fry. He has a big tax cut he wants to get through. Mm-hmm. He doesn't want to antagonize one, two, or three Democrats for whose support he is angling there. And as far as he's concerned, whether you are for or against campaign reform, it is not very important to him in the light of the other things he wants to get done.
Well, he got something accomplished with the tax cut sequence this week when the House passed his budget blueprint. It was nearly a party-line vote on Wednesday. How does it look in the Senate, where the split is, of course, 50-50?
Well, the administration has lost one Republican, Lincoln Chafee, Rhode Island, picked up one Democrat, Zell Miller of Georgia. They stand nominally at 50-50. Majority Leader Trent Lott says he will have the votes. Notice he doesn't say he has the votes. But there'll be a price to pay. One senator after another is demanding and getting some kind of a spending goodie in that budget resolution that contains a tax cut. Will President Bush prevail? I would not venture to say.
What about a strategy of trying to link the tax cut to the state of the economy?
Well, the economy is playing a nasty trick on the administration. The stock market has recovered some from its attack of mad Dow disease. You heard that?
Oh, my God.
Sorry about
that. I thought you misspoke yourself, and I wasn't going to correct you on a silly little point like that. And here I stepped into your venal trap. But go
sorry
ahead,
about
yes.
that. All right. The economic indicators don't look too bad right now. The president left out there with his argument that he needs that tax cut to save the economy. It may not need saving. Democrats, meanwhile, are making some headway with their plan for an immediate tax rebate.
Let me ask about the president's statement this week that he was not going to back the 1997, the Kyoto Treaty to combat global warming. Reaction has been pretty bad abroad.
Yeah. Well, it's on top of reversing himself on carbon dioxide, holding up new standards for arsenic and water. But these are American domestic matters. Kyoto is an international, you could say, a global matter. You hear a lot of dismay being expressed in Europe. The German Chancellor Schroeder brought that dismay right into the Oval Office. Ominous is that European Union is sending a delegation to Russia, China, Japan, and Iran in order to talk about this. This indispensable nation, America, as Madeleine Albright called it, is finding ways of isolating itself from the world.
What about reaction at home? Is there a political price to pay?
Well, at home, apparently the administration is surprised by the intensity of the reaction. House Republican leaders say they're uneasy. The administration is now planning a campaign that would lead up to Earth Day at the end of April to try to burnish the president's green credentials. How? I don't know.
We have to ask about the Middle East this week, where the violence has continued. Can President Bush afford to keep the United States on the sidelines?
If he can, he will. I mean, what he has done in public now at his news conference is to begin tilting towards Israel, at least in his public expression, telling Secretary of State Colin Powell to call up Yasser Arafat and cool it on terrorism. And while he condemns violence everywhere and on all sides and so on, he's beginning, as presidents tend to do at a point like this, to say, if you got to choose between the two, Israel is one we have to choose. Will America get further involved in that? Not if America can help it. Mm-hmm. But this is, as many presidents have found before, the kind of situation which inevitably drags America in. It's the only big power that counts. And when you have something where the world is threatened or a large part of the world, you have to act.
Thanks very much, Dan Shore.
Sure.